Morning. It's a pleasure and joy to be here with you this morning, and it's so good to see so many of those of our number who have been out due to COVID-19 to get over that time of quarantining, to get healthy, to get healed, and to be back here with us this morning. Praise God for that. We're so thankful and so grateful for this opportunity to meet. We're so thankful for the wisdom of the elders and the opportunity and the ability to continue to practice social distancing, yet come together on the first day of the week. You know, as we enter into this hour of worship this morning, that's something that's been on our minds for a while. This whole COVID-19 situation, you had it really kind of starting off back in March where we had the initial shutdowns, and we weren't here, and it was just Terry and I preaching sermons and doing those sorts of things, and then it seemed like we were coming out of it, right? And then all at once, it's starting to hit. Once again, the numbers creeping up and increasing as far as cases, and you know, along with that, all along has been the shutdowns and the ordinances come along with COVID-19 and the stress that puts on each individual. And then you start looking at the different leadership that is out there, and the immoral leadership, and some would say some of the unwise leadership within our country is what I'm talking about. And so it gets one to start to think about this country, the path that it's headed down, and everything like that. How is COVID-19 going to play into this? We're in the middle of an election year, all those sorts of types of things. And so it gives us reason for concern. But, you know, I want us to look at an example in the story this morning of an individual who really throughout his entire life went through political change and political unrest, went through a less than ideal situation, and that being Daniel. You think of Daniel and what he went through. We're going to get to in a minute Daniel 6 where we're going to get our lesson this morning. But Daniel starting off, in Daniel chapter 1, whenever he was taken from his homeland, as a teenager, some would say, at the oldest, he was in his lower 20s. So he was a young man when he was taken from his home in Jerusalem. And not only was he taken from his home, but then he was forced to serve a foreign king. He was forced to serve under this foreign leadership. And then he stays in that throughout his life. You go through Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 3, Daniel chapter 4, 5, even getting into Daniel 6. And we see that he's an 80, 90-year-old man still under foreign control. Not in Jerusalem. Having to serve foreign kings. But one of the things that we see with Daniel, and throughout it, not only was it foreign kings, but it's different kings. It's different kingdoms. Once it's Babylon, and then it becomes the Medo-Persians near the end, right? But you think of Daniel and his character and the way that he handled himself throughout, what you see is an unchanging child of God. Daniel was consistent throughout it all. He never changed. He never wavered in his character, in his way of handling and dealing with the situation he was in. That's something that we need to take heart of, that we need to take notice of as we go through this time. Because we don't know what the future holds. We don't know if this is the beginning of a continued downward spiral. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm just trying to tell us we don't know. And we've talked about those ideas throughout. We don't know what tomorrow holds and all those types of things. But I want to do a character study this morning of Daniel. And look at how an individual handled himself properly throughout. The unchanging child of God, that character that we see in Daniel. Like I said, I want to do this by looking at Daniel chapter 6. And as we read through here, verses 1 through 5, we're going to go back and we're going to reference other accounts throughout the first five chapters of Daniel. But we see that he has the same character, he acts in the same way throughout. Now, if you remember Daniel chapter 6, it's a chapter that we talk about regularly. A lot of times it's talked about back in little kids' Bible classes with Daniel in the lion's den and the courage that he had and the fact that God was with him through that. And so God's going to be with us. And so we recognize that. But I want to look at Daniel's character at the beginning of this story, before he even gets thrown in the lion's den, leading up to that. We read here in in chapter 6, verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be over the whole kingdom. Over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give an account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel, unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." And so we see from that point forward that those other governors, that those other ones in power, that they come up with a law to be able to go to put Daniel against his God. And that ultimately ends up with him being thrown in the lion's den. But here in the beginning, we see this unchanging character of Daniel. We see some things pointed out here in verses 1 through 5. I first want us to recognize in verse 3 that we read there was an excellent spirit in him. We read that, said, "Then as Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps." Remember, the king had set these governors and these satraps in various positions, but Daniel was one who distinguished himself above all. Why? Why did he distinguish himself above all? He did so because an excellent spirit was in him. And as a result of this, the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So there was this excellent spirit that was in Daniel. And again, you got to keep this in mind in the context of what Daniel's living in. He's not living in his homeland under the rule of a Jewish king or anything like that. He is serving a foreign king. He is under that role in a different realm, in a different area. And this is a different one than he was even first taken captive with Babylon. So there was this excellent spirit that was in him. Now, there are those who look at that and might take that to say that means that God was in him. And there is no doubt that God was working in him in a way. Okay, we see that throughout the book of Daniel that he has the ability to interpret the dreams, even tell the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, and then interpret and all those types of things. But I don't think that this is referencing that, the ability to interpret dreams or anything like that. I believe what this is talking about is Daniel had an excellent spirit in the sense that he had a mindset, a disposition, or the proper temper. That's what Vine says. Vine says that this word here, spirit, means mindset, disposition, or temper. In other words, what Daniel had was he controlled himself. He knew how to handle himself. Daniel chose to have that spirit in him regardless of the circumstance, to be that consistent individual, never getting too high, never getting too low. And we see that throughout. We see in Daniel chapter 1, as we referenced earlier, when he was taken from his homeland and forced to serve. We see that in Daniel chapter 2. Whenever Nebuchadnezzar had a vision or a dream, and it was told that the wise men had to tell him the dream and then interpret the dream, and if they didn't, then they would be killed. Daniel would have been pulled into that. But what was Daniel's response to that? Was it in anger? Was it in frustration? No, he had that calm, cool demeanor, that disposition to petition his God, to ask for the ability to petition his God, and that if God would give him that ability, that he could tell him. And so we see that working through. We even see that in Daniel chapter 1, that he was taken from his homeland and forced to serve, but he had that calm demeanor and disposition throughout. Daniel chapter 4, whenever Nebuchadnezzar has another dream, Nebuchadnezzar giving that account there, and Daniel telling him what was going on, and then in Daniel chapter 5, interpreting the writing on the wall. What we see here is a consistent, never too high, never too low individual, unchanging. Emotions didn't get the best of him. You got to think, him being in that situation, that it wouldn't be ideal. He's serving foreign gods and foreign kings. You got to think that he's sitting there thinking some of the decisions that they're making are unwise. Not only that, but they don't serve the God of heaven. All those types of things, but yet we don't see Daniel get overly frustrated to the point where he pops off on him or anything like that. He had an excellent spirit within him. And we see that that's how we are to be as Christians. Titus chapter 1, verses 7 through 8, it's talking about elders here. and the qualities and characters, character traits that they're supposed to have. But no doubt this applies to us as well. Applies to all Christians. For a bishop must be blameless, a steward of God, not self-willed, pay attention here, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. He's not to be quick-tempered. He's not to allow the situation to get the best of him, but he's to be controlled. And that's what we see in 1 Corinthians 9:25. Here, whenever we see Paul writing and equating himself in those who are Christians to an athlete, one who is temperate in all things, we read in verse 25, and everyone who competes for a prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. We are to be temperate, meaning we are to have self-control in all things, in every situation, no matter what happens. There is supposed to be that excellent spirit, that calm demeanor that is within us. And that is something that we choose. That is something that Daniel chose. Now, no doubt that Daniel was one, as we'll get into, who conformed his life to the Word of God. That by doing that, it allowed him and helped him to have this calm demeanor, this excellent spirit. But it is in that sense that he has it. You know, you think about Daniel. Why was Daniel able to have that? Despite of the situation, and again, it might be hard for us to fathom, but you've got to think about where he is. Here in Daniel 6 and throughout his life. Taken from his homeland and forced to serve foreign gods. And I've said that, I'm going to keep saying it. Or not forced to serve foreign gods, let me back that. Forced to serve foreign kings, right? Be under the servitude of them. And whenever he does that, we see him have this proper mindset, this proper disposition. One might ask, or one might say, why? Why does he have that? How does he have that? I mean, I see what we're going through, and it's so hard to have that disposition. Everything that I've known seems to be crumbling. This country is going so far in the opposite direction of what it was founded upon, and all these types of things. How am I supposed to still continue to have this excellent spirit, this excellent disposition or mindset or temper? How am I supposed to stay calm through all of this? I believe Daniel recognized what we see in Psalms 46. In Psalm 46, we read, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Daniel recognized this. He recognized that regardless of who was the earthly power, whatever nation was in control, that they were still subject to God and that God was in control. And so regardless of the way things went, he knew that God was in control. He was to be still and know that he is God, know that he is in control. Understand that. And if we put that proper mindset and have that mindset within us, it's going to help us to have this excellent spirit, this excellent disposition. Regardless of the way things are going, does that mean that we're not going to be happy or that we are going to be happy with the way things go? Absolutely not. That means the way that we handle ourselves and the way that we act in accordance with the way things are going is going to be different. So we need to look at ourselves and make the application. Given the situation and given the way things are going and the way things might end up going, we don't know the path that it's going to go down. How do we act to political issues? What about various issues at work, school, the organization or club that we are a part of? The decisions that are made. Do we get extremely frustrated and pop off and mad? Do we take to social media and react to these things in a way that whenever the world sees it, when the world looks at it, they would not think at all that we are Christians? Are we throwing those things out on social media? Are we making those comments to individual in anger and in rage? Or do we have that excellent spirit within us that Daniel had? That regardless of what decisions are made or what's going on, we are going to have that mindset, that disposition, that proper temper, be in control of ourselves. Are we allowing the things that are happening to control us? Something that we need to think about. Something that Daniel had. And as a result of it, understand what happened. Because he had that excellent spirit, the king recognized that. It distinguished him from all the other wise men. Why? Because everyone else lets their temper and their disposition, they let the situation get the best of them. Daniel did not. Daniel was an individual who was consistent throughout. And again, it's not here just in Daniel 6. We saw that in Daniel 1, Daniel 2, Daniel 4, and Daniel 5. Every situation, every time that something came up and he was called upon, we see the proper reaction from Daniel. We've got to ask ourselves, do we have that? The unchanging child of God. It's easy to have an excellent spirit when things are going well. But what about when things aren't going your way? So it's easy for people to have that proper mindset or disposition and be seemingly calm and cool and everything's going great because it is. What about whenever it's not? What about when things aren't going your way? Do you continue to have the proper reaction to the various things that come up? Tell you what else Daniel was. We read that Daniel was faithful in verse 4. So not only did he have this excellent spirit that caused the king to set him to consider and think about setting him over the whole realm, but in verse 4, the governors and the satraps, they noticed this. They saw that, and there was jealousy towards Daniel as a result of the way that he continued to handle himself. And because of that, the king was thinking about setting him over the whole realm. So they're jealous of that. And then Daniel. And so what do they do? They're going to try to find something concerning the kingdom. They're going to try to find something against Daniel. But what was their conclusion? So Daniel has this excellent spirit, this excellent mindset or disposition. He's handling himself properly in every situation that he comes across. And so that's going to make these jealous. And so they're going to try to find some way to pin something against Daniel, against the kingdom, against the king, that would allow them to tear down Daniel's character. But what do we see? What do we see mentioned? But they could not find, but they could find no charge or fault. Why? Because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Daniel was a faithful individual. There was no error. There was no charge. There was no fault that they can find in him. That speaks to his excellent spirit that he had. Not only did he have this excellent spirit, he was also a faithful individual. And what that means is he was trustworthy. He was faithful to the king and to the dealings. He was faithful in the position or role that he was given. He never did anything within that position or within that role or anything even outside of it, but certainly within that, that would allow these individuals that were trying to come after him to tear him down, to bring him down. He didn't do anything like that. He was one who was trustworthy. Nebuchadnezzar trusted him. You see that throughout. Now, obviously, with Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel had the ability, through the blessing of God, to be able to tell him his dream and all those types of things. But no doubt that Nebuchadnezzar looks at and trusts Daniel over the other wise men. Not only that, but we see it here with King Darius, that he trusted him. He was a trustworthy individual. He was an individual that was known to do his job, again, regardless of the circumstance or situation that he was in. He's serving foreign kings. He's not in his homeland. And he's trying to serve God while he's doing that. But yet, he was faithful and he was trustworthy. There's two points that I want to point out with regards to this faithfulness or the trustworthiness of Daniel. One, we see that Daniel did exactly what he was supposed to do. They couldn't find any fault against him within regards to his job, his position within the kingdom. Daniel was entrusted with some things, and those things of which he was entrusted with, he handled properly. There was nothing that the men who were trying to find the fault to pull him down could find against him. Everything that the king entrusted with him, Daniel did properly. We are to be faithful in what we have been entrusted with as well. If you look over in Luke chapter 16, we have an account, a parable that Jesus tells in verses 1 through 13. And we get down to verses 10 through 12, and I really want to point out the point of this whole parable. But throughout this parable, what you have is you have this master who hears an account from one of his stewards that they are being unjust, that they aren't doing what they should be with their position, with what they have been given stewardship of. And so This master says he's going to have to kick him out of the house or take it away and all those types of things. And so what that steward does is he goes around and he tries to go and deal and act in a wise manner. And his master commends him for it. And he's not commending the way that he was, being lazy and being unjust and all those types of things, but he commends him for being wise or being shrewd in what he had time left to do. So, what's the conclusion Jesus says at the end of this parable? He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? What Jesus comes to the conclusion of, and what he says is, a lazy man, a worldly man, understands how to act in a wise way with those things that he has been given in the limited time that he has with them. How much more so should the child of God be able to act and understand how to properly handle that which he has been given stewardship of? We are to handle that which we are stewards of in a wise manner, whether that be our position, whether that be financial blessings that we have been given, whether that be abilities that we have, the talents that we've been blessed with. We are to handle that and use that in a wise, just manner. That is what the point of the parable is, and that's one of the things that we see Daniel doing. That which he had been given control of, that which he had been entrusted with, he handled it in a proper, wise way. It wasn't to benefit himself. He did it by what means the king would want done with it. And so we need to ask the question, are we wise in handling those things that we've been entrusted with? What about our jobs, school, or other positions that we might hold? Does the circumstance change how we handle what has been entrusted to us? Again, it kind of goes back to the last point. It's extremely easy to handle what's been entrusted to you whenever things are going well. But what about when things aren't going well? Like the situation that we have right now. If things aren't going well, do we continue to handle them in a responsible way? The responsibilities that we have at work. Things are going great. It's real easy to continue doing what you're supposed to do. What about when things aren't going good? Do you continue to do what you're supposed to do? What your boss, what your employer has entrusted you with? Remember who entrusted you with that in the beginning. Where that blessing comes from is God. Are you handling yourself right there? What about the blessings we have been given? Like I said, the financial blessings. Whenever times are going good, it might be extremely easy to handle those aright. What about whenever times aren't going good? Are we still handling ourselves right in all those situations? There is the sense, and we recognize that Daniel was faithful. Because he handled himself properly or in a trustworthy way, that which he had been given every single time, the Chaldeans or those who were trying to pull him down, the other governors and satraps, they couldn't find a reason to pull him down. Why? Because he was faithful in all his dealings. It didn't change. It didn't make a difference, regardless of whatever was going on around him. What he had been given, he handled rightly. But not only that, I want us to recognize this. He submitted to the authority. He never acted out of his role. No doubt whenever these men are going to be looking at Daniel and trying to pull him down, they're really trying to pin him against the king, right? They're trying to find something to pin him against the king so then they can go tell the king, hey, Daniel's doing this, by the way, and make him look bad and hopefully pull him down. Well, if Daniel was faithful, then what that tells us is he submitted to the authority of the king. He never acted outside of his role. The king was the authority, and Daniel understood that the king was the authority that God put in place. And as a result of that, he submitted to that authority. He did not usurp that authority's power. He did what the authority would want to do with what he had been given. Not only that, but he submitted to that rule. Even if he thought that rule was unwise and unsmart and illogical, he submitted to it. We see that we're supposed to do the same thing. And we read over in Romans 13, verses 1 through 3. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will never, or sorry, and you will have praise from the same. Verse 4. For he is God's ministers, he being the authority, is God's ministers to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Understand what's being said here. We have authorities put in place for our protection, for our good, and we are to submit to that authority. And if we don't, whose will are we going against? We're going against God's will because God put that authority in place. We continue and we look over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 16, and we see something very similar. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the kings as supreme or to the governors, as to those who are set by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We see the same principle laid out. The civil authorities are there for our good, and we are to submit to them. Why? Because it is the will of God. And by doing so, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. What we need to recognize and what we need to understand is we have the right to vote in this country. We have a say, and that is great. And we need to exercise those rights that we have within that law. But unless there is something done that goes against the law of God, we must submit. After that election is over, after that law has been enacted and put in place, and the authorities are there, and that's one of the things that's pointed out here in 1 Peter, you have the rulers or the kings, the supreme, and then you have governors who are sent out and go out and enforce these rules. We are to submit to those rules. Why? Because God put them in place for our good and for our safety. And then by doing so, anybody who would try to come after us is saying, just look at that individual. They're irreverent. They have no respect for authority. They don't listen to them. They don't listen to law. They have nothing that they can hold against us. You recognize that's what Daniel did? Daniel submitted to the king's authority. And because of that, the men who tried to find something against him and the king couldn't find anything to pull him down. Why? Because Daniel submitted to that authority. As a result, God was exalted, or God exalted, was able to exalt him and use Daniel in that way. We are to submit to the authority. One thing that I do want to point out is this, in 1 Peter chapter 2, but it's the whole book, 1 Peter, you've got to remember the context and what it's written in. The book starts off talking about the fact that they're going through these various trials, and that these trials, that one of the things they do is they do prove the genuineness of your faith. But you're going through it. But stay strong even in the midst of these trials. Why? You stay strong in the midst of these trials because you don't forget who you are. You're a child of God. Stay strong. You've been baptized, and as a result of that, you're a child of God. You have a home of heaven when this life on earth is over. Remember this, you are a child of God, you are submitting to me, and I'm telling you to submit to the authorities. Don't act outside of that. And that's one thing that we need to understand. We look at this book, and we need to understand the persecutions that they were going through. You know, we might look at our situation in day and time and think, yeah, but I mean, what we're going through, and just I've had conversations with people that say, but the control, they're trying to do all these different things, and look, I hear you. One of the things that we need to understand is whenever a law is enacted, whenever it is put in place, we need to submit to it, because in doing so, we're submitting to God. He is the true supreme ruler, and He's the one that put these people in place. And if they act outside of their authority, they are going to have to answer to that for God. But if we act outside of authority, if we go beyond and defy the civil authority, then we are acting outside of what God tells us to do as well. Regardless of how dumb, unwise, illogical a law might seem, if we don't submit, we are not submitting to God, and we need to keep that in mind. Understand that what those people were going through in whenever Peter's writing that letter to them is a persecution of the Romans. You think of Nero, of what he did as emperor, the burning the Christians. the blaming them for various things, and then this all-out persecution and war and killing of Christians. It is in that context that Peter wrote this book, that we are to submit to that authority. But I do want us to understand this. We are to submit to those civil authorities, and in doing so, we prove ourselves faithful to the kings that God has put in place. But Daniel was also obedient to God. And that's what we need to understand that context in. We get to verse 5. So Daniel was faithful to the king. He was faithful. He submitted to his authority. Whatever law, whatever thing he put out there, he submitted to, except whenever that law went against the law of God. And that's what we see happening in verse 5. So these men, these governors, these satraps, they can't find anything for Daniel concerning the laws the king might put in, have currently in place. And so what did they say? The man answered and said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." They knew that Daniel was faithful and he was going to submit because God told him to submit. They knew that Daniel did that, and they couldn't find anything against him, so they had to come up with a law that would pin Daniel against his God. And they knew Daniel's faithfulness and his obedience to God above all else. And in doing so, he was going to go against that law. And so that's what they did. And he did that. He went against it. Daniel did what we see stated here in Acts, the 5th chapter, verse 9. Where we read Peter and the other apostles answering those who were coming after them, saying, "Did we not tell you not to teach and not to preach? Did we not tell you to talk about and fill Jerusalem with your doctrine that you have?" And their response to this was, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Yes, we submit to those authorities, but if those authorities have us breaking a law or a command of God, we submit and we obey God rather than men. And understand this. Understand that it is breaking a law. Breaking a law in the sense of breaking a command of God. We see Daniel being an example of this in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Where Daniel said, where we read over there that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Why would Daniel not partake of the king's delicacies? Because in doing so, it would have defiled Daniel. It would have pinned him against a command of God, so he didn't do it. Then we get over here to Daniel 6. This law is enacted that you can't pray to any god for 30 days. The only one that you can petition or that you can pray to is the king himself. Well, Daniel continued to pray anyways. He continued to pray to God because he knew that that was a command that he was supposed to do, and he wasn't supposed to petition any other man or any other god or anything like that. And we see here in verse 10, now Daniel knew that the writing was signed. That's important to note. Daniel knew that the writing was signed from the standpoint of he knew that the law was written. He didn't go and just pray not knowing that there was this law. He knew that it was signed. Yet what did he do? He went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knee 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. That's what he did. Why? Because that was a command that God gave, and he was not going to break that command and petition any other man. We need to understand that. We need to understand, as we read in Matthew 10:27-30, whatever I tell you, this is Jesus speaking here, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. Whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Understand the context and what's being said here. You back up to the beginning of chapter 10. And Jesus is commanding his apostles to go out and to teach and preach. And he tells them, there are going to be those that hate you and they're not going to want this message taught. And what he's telling them is, you do it anyways. So, what is it? It's a matter of command that God gives. We're to fear God and do as he commands. And I want to lay this out and I want us to understand this. Daniel was obedient to the civil authority and these guys were obedient to the civil authority to the point that it caused him to disobey God. We are to be obedient to the commands of God. There are things that are left up in the realm of liberty and that are matters of indifference to God. And those are not what we are talking about here. I need to make that clear. You need to understand that. Matters of indifference to God, matters of liberty to God, that is not something that we submit to God over men. If it's a matter of indifference or liberty to God, He put that civil authority in place to protect us and we submit to it. A prime example, although we don't have to in this assembly because it was given in the ordinances, we don't have to wear a mask in here according to those rules. But if it's required, like I know some states are, and I know back where I'm from, it's required in that county, in that city, that they wear a mask at services. You comply with that authority because they put it in place. That's a matter of indifference to God. But the moment that it becomes a matter of command from God, that is whenever we stand our ground. That's what Daniel did. That's what these men did. And that's what we need to understand. We need to understand and recognize the difference. Daniel was an unchanging child of God. He was one that submitted to that authority. Those who submit to those, we are to submit to those of authority. But if that command is, but if we're giving something that is to break a command that we are required to disobey, we must stand as Daniel did. I want you to recognize the unchanging child of God and how Daniel handled himself. Daniel handled himself because he had an excellent spirit. He had that proper mindset, that proper disposition, that regardless if it's me being in Jerusalem, me being under Babylonian captivity with Nebuchadnezzar, being under, and you think about the various kings that he would have been under and how unwise. Unwise decisions, illogical decisions, the immoral decisions they were making. Unless it pinned Daniel or others against God, he was to submit to that rule and to that authority, and he did. He had that excellent spirit in him. He was faithful, but above all, he was obedient to God, and that's how we are to be. The child of God is consistent and unchanging regardless of what happens around them. The reason why they are is because they focus on eternity. They understand that God is in control. And as we read in Psalm 46, verse 10, we are to be still and know that God is in control. Regardless of who our president is, regardless of who our congresswoman or man is, regardless of the rules that are put into place, understand that God is in control. And unless that law forces you to go against the command of God, then we are to submit to that authority. And in doing so, as we read in Peter, in doing so, those who try to pin us against others, those who are ignorant and who are foolish, they are not going to have anything that they can hold against us. Because we are those who submit to and obey the authority up until the point that it goes against our God and His commands. We understand this and we're able to do this because we're focused on eternity. We understand that this world is not our home. And regardless, as much as we love this country, as much as we love our freedoms, we understand that home of heaven is for eternity. And that's what I'm going to focus on. And I'm going to submit to what God wants me to submit to. I'm going to submit to Him, submit to whoever He tells me to submit to. We need to understand that. The unchanging character, the unchanging child of God that Daniel was, is a great example for us in a situation that is not ideal. The situation that we don't want to be in, and we need to take that and make application to our life, especially given the situation that we're in and as we continue on throughout this year. You know, before one can become that unchanging child of God, though, one must become a child of God. And we're told that we do that by being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. As we see in Acts chapter 2, we repent of those things which we are doing, those things which have separated us from God, as we see in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. We repent of those things, we turn from them, and we're baptized into Jesus Christ. Until we do that, you're not a child of God. Have you done that? Have you been baptized for the remission of sins this morning? If you have not, you can come forward and do so this day, this morning. But if you have, and you have slipped and you have fallen away, we can pray for you, we can pray with you. If we can help in any way, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing the song this morning.